Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Continuing our examination of Romans chapter 2, we are learning more about the judgment of God. And we find that men don't like to think about the judgment of God, and they avoid considering it seriously when actually it is one of the most important things that we could ever consider in all of our lives. We read in Romans 2:3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? You who are guilty of violating the law of God, you who are guilty of violating the standards that you yourself have used to judge others. Doubly guilty. Not only guilty of violating what God has given to you, but guilty of violating what you yourself have said is wrong. And you have judged others by that standard, and do you think that you will escape the judgment of God, that God will not hold you to the same standard that you have held others to? How foolish can you get? But there are other ways that the human mind endeavors to avoid the subject of God's judgment, and we'll move into verse 4 in just a moment to examine another one, but let me pause and welcome you to this Monday, February 28 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And let me encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month number 3, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study from Romans chapter 14 entitled, "A Biblical Understanding of the Gospel." A Biblical Understanding of the Gospel. Do you think that that's an important subject? Do you think that that's something that needs to be emphasized and clarified? I certainly do. And I would encourage you to write or email us for Sermon of the Month number 3, "A Biblical Understanding of the Gospel." Just give us your name and return address and the call letters of the station, and we will send it to you just as quickly as possible. It normally comes on cassette tape. If you prefer to have it on CD, please let us know. The address is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. All right, now notice verse 4, Romans 2:4. And let me read it from the New American Standard. The King James English is really quite archaic at this point, so New American Standard. "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" We see here the evidences of God's kindness, what the Bible calls the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. His forbearance is the forbearance which delays punishment. God does not punish the sinner immediately. Now, the word forbearance, armistice, implies a limit. After a while, the punishment will come if things have not been rectified before then. Forbearance is not forgiveness. Forbearance is a delay in judgment, a delay in punishment. So God demonstrates the riches of his goodness in various ways, sustaining our lives, providing for us. Sometimes God's people have trouble figuring out why it is that ungodly people seem to prosper. Many of them seem to be blessed financially, far above the level that God's own people are blessed. That's hard for some people to figure out, particularly if you have a health and wealth mentality that teaches you that obedience to God, believing in His Word, having faith in His promises, and living for Him is a guarantee of material blessings. And failing to do so is a guarantee of withdrawal of those blessings. If that's your mentality, then you are going to have a particularly hard time with the fact that there are many ungodly people who have material blessings from God far exceeding your own. How do you explain that? I'll tell you how. That's the goodness of God. That's the forbearance of God. It's the goodness of God to give men blessings that they do not deserve. By the way, we don't deserve them either. If God gives them to His children, it's not because we deserve them. It's out of the goodness of His heart. That's out of His grace. He bestows them upon us. Gladly, lovingly, lavishly, graciously. But He bestows them on the ungodly for the same reason. Not because they deserve them, but because God is gracious. It's not because the recipient is good. It is because the giver is good. God is good. And so He pours out His blessings. And God is good, so He holds back His judgment. He delays it. God is long-suffering. He patiently awaits the time of judgment, giving men ample opportunity to recognize their folly and to come to terms with God and to repent of their sins and to seek the God-given remedy for sin, which is found in Jesus Christ. But in spite of all of this evidence of the kindness of God, there is frequently, a spurning of this evidence. Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Or again, in the words of the New American Standard, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience? To fail to understand the significance of God's goodness is to think lightly of it, to fail to value of it, to fail to value it, to fail to esteem it, to scorn it. What do men do with the material blessings of God? They count them their own. They pat themselves on the back. They convince themselves that they deserve these things, and they insist that they have nothing to do with God. I earned this. I deserve this. This has nothing to do with God's goodness to me. This is what I deserve because of my work, because of my talents, because of my goodness. I have merited these things. They have come to me for reasons that have only to do with myself and with my relationships with other people upon the earth. They have nothing to do with God. And so, in the face of God's goodness, the evidence of God's kindness, there is a spurning of all of this evidence, and there is a failure to repent. No change of mind. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? That's the reason why it was given. To point you toward repentance, to show you your need of repentance, and to give you time and opportunity for repentance. How kind God is to be forbearing, to delay His judgment, to be long-suffering, to hold back on His wrath, which you so richly deserve. But you see, this is just another way of men rejecting the revelation which God has given to them. In chapter 1, God revealed Himself to men, taught them truth about Himself, the one true God, gave them light and knowledge and truth about God and about His ways and His requirements, and men rejected that light, ignored that light, pretended like God doesn't exist, turned the truth of God into a lie, served and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. In other words, in one way or another, they spurned the revelation which God gave them. Well, here's another example of the same thing. Now on a more personal level, now on a more material level, God gives his blessings, his material blessings, and men ignore the evidence of God in that, and ignore the evidence of God's goodness in that. They deny that it has anything to do with God or with the goodness of God. They reject the evidences of God's goodness and cling to what they consider to be evidences of God's injustice. And so they continue to distort the truth about God and believe fables rather than the truth because they want to believe fables rather than the truth. They continue to fault God, to rail against God, to insult God, to ignore God, ignoring the evidence of his kindness to them. Why? You know, people ought to ask themselves some questions sometimes. Why was I born in the United States of America instead of in the Sudan? Would you be enjoying the kind of life you're enjoying now if you had been born in the Sudan? Not likely. Not at all. I can assure you that. Well, why are those people, millions of them, born there? Why were you born here? Can you explain that? Well, some people, of course, would explain it by chance, by luck, by other matters, anything but saying, that was just God's goodness to me. I can't explain it. I don't know why, but I recognize that God was good to me in that way. God caused me to be born in this country. God gave me wonderful opportunities. God gave me certain talents and abilities. God has blessed me with a good life and with many material things to sustain my life. God has been patient with me. God has withheld the judgment upon me, which I know that I deserve. God has been long-suffering in his attitude toward me. And all of these things show me what a gracious God he is, and I see my folly in failing to acknowledge him and repent of my sin, but these things show me the goodness of God. You see, when God brings judgment, that's his goodness, to stop men up short and to show them by temporal judgments the greater danger of eternal judgment. You don't want to fall under the judging hand of God. Recognize what God's judgment is like. Natural disasters should cause us to think that way. The recent tsunami in the Indian Ocean, what should we think about that? Well, among other things, we should think God has graciously given us a wake-up call and shown us something of what his judgment is like and given us opportunity to recognize it, and to flee from the wrath to come. But instead, what do men do? They rail against God. Why did God allow that to happen? He shouldn't have allowed that to happen. There must not be a God. There certainly couldn't be a good God. So if God brings evidence of his judgments upon men, they ignore the evidence and rail against God. If God brings evidence of his goodness and kindness to men, they ignore the evidence and rail against God. So what kind of reaction would you expect God to respond with in the face of this? Can you fault him for holding men accountable and bringing them to their just deserts in the day of judgment? Surely not. Think about these things. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.